and welcome to episode one of the Women of Wrestling podcast. I'm Stu Allen. I'm here with Lee Burton.
Hi, guys. This is probably going to be the first of what we hope will be many Women of Wrestling podcasts. Not necessarily on a sort of regular basis as far as the intervals are concerned, but it's kind of when the mood takes us. So you might get a couple within a couple of weeks. You might get somewhere. It might be a little bit longer in between. But, you know, we're going to keep doing them as long as we find interesting people in the female grap game to talk to.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, don't expect this to be a weekly podcast. We're going to do these as long as we have people to talk to and as long as we have the time to schedule them. If you're listening to this, then hopefully already you're a fan of women's wrestling, or at the very least, women in wrestling. And hopefully what we'll do over the course of the next few episodes is we'll find people that that you want to hear really get on their soapbox and tell their story. That's kind of what we want to do here. Both myself and Lee, we've both got experience previously doing wrestling podcasts. Lee with the Power Slam Radio podcast, myself with the S&M show. And I mean, I think it's probably fair to say, Lee, that on both of our shows, we sort of tried to push the women's wrestling envelope as much as we could and what we had to work with. But with both of our shows kind of being defunct at the minute, we thought we might as well push ahead and do something more specific to the genre.
Well, this is it. I tried to. I was pushing women's wrestling quite a bit because I got hooked on it at the start of 2007 with Chick Fight 7. And then from then on, I just tried to give it as much of a plug as I could. I mentioned Chick Fight wherever I could, and then I got into Shimmer a bit more. And you know, now it's just expanded and expanded. And quite frankly, I think it deserved a podcast of its own.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I mean, that's why we're, you know, quite simply the Women of Wrestling podcast. We're going to try and keep it nice and simple here so that it's easy to find. Hopefully you'll already have manually added the podcast feed to your iTunes if you're an iTunes user. What we're going to try and do as well is get the podcast accepted as an official podcast on iTunes as well. So that basically whenever we do get a guest and whenever we do have the opportunity to schedule it together and we get a show up, then you know you'll immediately get the next episode downloaded into your iTunes. So look out for that. We've got a bunch of ideas for what we want to do as far as future guests. We especially at the beginning here, we got, you know, at least half a dozen people we really want to do quite quickly, but you know, we'll do them in whatever order we can or whenever we can. We're going to start today though with somebody that was essentially the only choice to start the show with, and that was Alison Danger.
I think it probably was the logical start, because you know, if you've seen an Alison Danger shoot in the past, you know this woman likes to talk, so you know you're going to be getting, well, if you were having to pay for it, you'd be getting your money's worth.
Exactly.
And you're getting it for free.
Exactly. And it's somebody that we both know and we have a decent relationship as well, so she can help us in the first episode at least to overcome any technological teething issues we have. And, you know, hopefully the first show is going to sound pretty good, and as we go ahead, we'll hopefully sound even better. What I'd like to say as well is that if you've got feedback for us as far as, you know, ideas for the show, ideas for guests, and I mean, what we'll try and do maybe before we have future guests on, we will try and you know, publicize those ahead of time so that you guys can send us in questions if you want to as well. You can contact us via email. Email addresses will be on the website as well. So, you know, this is your show as well. We're very much aware that wrestling's a niche product and Women of Wrestling's a niche within a niche. So, you know, the people who are listening to it out there, please give us your feedback. Please tell us what you like. Please tell us what you don't like. And we'll try our best to put on a show that you guys want to hear.
Absolutely, because I guess as far as women in wrestling is concerned, if you're listening to this, you genuinely care about women's wrestling. You care about the fact that it isn't just, you know, what's necessarily portrayed as far as on TV is concerned. There is other stuff out there. There are women who go 20, 30 minutes in, as far as matches are concerned. So, you know, you care, and we want you to show that you care. Tell us, you know, tell us what you're interested in. Tell us who you want to hear from as well, if you've got any ideas for people who you wanted to talk to.
Absolutely. So, I mean, without any further ado, there's no point in us chit-chatting too long because we're a couple of minutes away from getting Alison Danger on the line. We're going to get her on and we'll see what she's got to say on the eve of tickets going on sale for the next Shimmer show. It's going to be November 8th in Berwyn, Illinois.
Fire!
And we are back with Allison Danger, the first guest on our brand new show. Allison, welcome.
Woohoo! Yay! Hello, everybody. I've been watching a lot of Scrubs, so I want to do it like Ted style. Like, hello!
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Still, what is wrong with you? Have you not watched Scrubs? How does anybody not watch Scrubs?
I don't watch Scrubs either.
What? Now I really question your sexuality.
Thanks very much, yeah. That's great. Okay, this is going to be the shortest interview ever. The first thing I wanted to ask, because this is the one that's been bugging me for a little while, I really wanted to ask you about this. So I hope you're able to just be honest with us. What did you think of Jenna versus Sharmell at Victory Road?
Oh, God. The little bit I watched of it, I just kind of just didn't get the point of it. Like, I know there's some kind of feud going on between them, but I think for both women involved and for the fans in general, that something else could have been done as opposed to a wrestling match that I think would have played more to the strengths of both women. I mean, you know, the Jenna girl, she's just not a wrestler.
No, she's not.
Like, she seems like a nice girl and all that, but she's just not a wrestler. And, you know, to put a non-wrestler in a wrestling match, and then when it goes to shit and people get upset, you know, like, what the hell? Like, you know, she's not a wrestler. She knows she's not a wrestler. So why put her in a wrestling situation? And
welcome
I don't know.
TMA.
I think it just... Yeah, and I think it's a shame for both her and Sharmell because it left a bad taste in fans' mouth when really the two girls were doing what they were told to do by the higher-ups. You know, they probably tried to make the best of a bad situation, but I think in hindsight it would have been better to play to their strengths as opposed
what
to their weaknesses.
What strengths would those be?
Well... See, that's the thing, because I don't know a whole lot about Sharmell. I know she's a good manager, yeah. All that stuff. The Jenna girl, I never, what was it, Survivor she was on, Amazing Race,
yes.
What was it? Okay, yeah, I don't watch those shows. So I don't know what her strength is. Like, I don't know what she'd be good at. So I couldn't really say what would have been a better alternative, but I think there had to have been an alternative out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make any sense?
Appalls me as much as anything else is the fact that they pay Jenna Maraska more money than Gail Kim wanted to stay.
Okay, that's sad.
I don't know what they thought that they were getting or what sort of crossover appeal that they thought that they were getting by hiring the Survivor chick rather than having the girl that was, you know, a proven ratings draw on their TV program.
Right. Did you watch the Raw match, the four-way
last
with
night?
Her? Yeah, was it her, Kelly...
Phoenix.
Beth Phoenix and Alicia Fox.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That Alicia Fox, she's not bad.
No, absolutely not. I think she gets it.
She could have been a hell of a person. Like, she seems like a good bass and, you know, she bumps. You know who I like out of all, like, the diva-ish girls? I'm really getting a fondness for Eve Torres.
Yes! Me too.
I mean, that one clothesline she took from nice. Natty. I can't call her Natalia. She'll always be Natty to me.
That's right.
Natty about took her damn head off, and that girl bumped like a champ. I was like, sweet. And she has better drop kicks than I do, though, of course. Most people have better drop kicks than I do. So, yeah, I'm really impressed by the Eve girl. And somebody asked on my message board the other day if you could pick a diva, you know, like, which one would you grab? And I said, I would grab Eve and bring her to Shimmer if I had to. If I couldn't have, like, Mickey or Beth or Natty back, you know? So,
you know, I'm so glad that you said Eve right there.
Does it give validity to your arguments?
It does, because I've been sort of supporting Eve for a little while now. I'm thinking each week that I see her wrestle, she gets better and better. I'm thinking, you know, give her enough time and give her enough matches and give her enough opportunity, she's going to do something. Because she's not, you know, unlike... Kelly or Alicia, for instance, even though, you know, they seem to be going out there and not embarrassing themselves, Eve just looks a bit more, she's got a bit more brawn to her, I suppose. She doesn't look like she's going to fall to bits.
She's a little more convincing, like physically.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. And she's proven that she can hang in there, you know. And I think working with Natty's got to do wonders for her, because, I mean, how do you work with Natty Neidhart and not learn something? I mean, the girl's awesome.
Yeah, you can learn how
for her. I miss her. I oh god, I'd love to have her back at Shimmer. Hopefully one day. Well, hopefully for me, maybe not.
Say,
hopefully
that's
for
a
her, because
thing
then
to
that,
say, cause that means she gets fired.
Yeah, yeah, and I want what's best for Natty, but if I'm gonna be a complete selfish cow, I'm gonna be like, I'd take her back.
Cool. I guess the one that kind of I guess not disappointment, I suppose, but the fact that the Beth was in for volumes 1 and 2 of Shimmer, and then Natty was in for 7 and 8, and you know, you think these girls could sort of run in Shimmer, but you know, somebody else also thought, well, they can run in WWE, so they got signed up.
Yep. And you can't blame them. I mean, you know, like Punk once told me something along the lines of, you know, when people ask what you do and you tell them you're a wrestler and like, oh, on TV, and you say no, they kind of look like, oh, well, then you're really not a wrestler. You're just a wannabe. And then when you get that WWE contract and they're like, oh, you know, you meet those same people and you're like, yeah, I'm a wrestler. On TV, yes. All of a sudden it just changes, you know, it makes you more legit in the general public's eye. And so I think it works out well. And, of course, you know, the money is a little bit better than what Dave pays.
That probably helps as well.
Dave's not giving me WWE money yet.
Speaking of WWE money, the latest person to sign up for developmental was Serena Deeb, who's recently gone down to Florida. I don't know how long she needs to spend in Florida, because I think she's pretty much ready to come up right now, isn't she?
That would be awesome if she came
she's
up right now.
She's the name Serena Mancini now, which I like to think is a tribute to Melrose Place returning soon.
Now, see, I never watched
Melrose
Place.
Watch Melrose Place instead of Scrubs. That's what you should be doing.
What? No. Melrose Place, I'm... The few episodes I saw of that, I'm like, this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. It's like Sex in the City.
Gold is meant to be horrible.
Wow, Scrubs is funny. I can't believe you two don't watch Scrubs. Seriously, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
In fairness, I would rather watch Scrubs than Melrose Place.
Yes, thank you.
This isn't to suck up to the guest either, Stu. Just seriously, I'd rather watch Scrubs.
Speaking of Serena, though, she signed up with her developmental deal a little while ago, and it's always been known that that's been her dream, because she went to OVW on her own dollar and trained with, I guess they call it the geek class there, until she reached a reasonable level, or a level enough where they started to pay attention to her. Did you guys know at the time of the last Shimmer taping that this was looking likely that it might happen this year?
I mean, we've always had a hunch it was going to happen. Like, Dave and I never really doubted that she would get signed. It was just a matter of when. So, and we always just kind of prepared ourselves. And, like, hiring-wise, I guess, kind of looked like it was slowing down a little bit. So, and Dave really wanted to get a push in. And it just the timing worked out perfect, because she got that great push and she did so well with it. And then it was like, I got the message, you know, hey, she signed. And I'm like, sweet, you know. All loose ends are already wrapped up. You know, she got to do what we needed her to do, and I think it worked out great.
Lucky in the long run, because I thought for sure she was probably going to win the belt at the last tapings, and if she had, then I guess we would have had a vacant belt. So it worked out for the best, all things considered. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So we've got the new tapings have been announced now. Going to be November 8th, isn't that right?
Yes, November 8th in Berwyn.
Illinois. We're going to make our third pilgrimage to Shimmer in the space of 18 months, which is just bizarre when you sort of say it like that.
Idiotic on our part.
Our credit cards are on.
Yeah, that's commitment, guys.
Just getting over the last trip. But, you know, it's going to be the fourth anniversary now of Shimmer. And I know, obviously, Shimmer don't exactly run a lot of shows during the space of a year, but... I mean, when you and Dave sat down and discussed the prospect of running a show, all-women's show, did you ever consider that something like this was going to get to 4 years and still be in operation?
I think deep down I wanted it to, but like with every promotion, you always have your doubts because you never know what's going to happen. So it was kind of like one of those things where we just took it one show at a time. It's like, let's see how the first one goes. Hey, the first one went pretty well. Let's try it again. Keep going. All right, you know, now it's starting to pick up some steam, so we just keep going and just keep rolling through with it till you guys stop showing up, and then I guess we'll fold.
Well,
yeah?
I was going to say about it, you said about having your hand in it, and obviously, you know, being a sort of co-founder of Shimmer as well. And as far as your responsibilities are concerned, a lot of people talk about what Dave does. What about yourself? What sort of handlings do you have on it in Shimmer on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, I talk to Prazak a lot. We come up with different ideas of, hey, what do you think about bringing this person in? Hey, what do you think about this person versus this person? Dave handles all the money stuff. I never get involved with anything in money. I don't know what people get paid. I don't know how much DVDs come in with. Like, I stay away from all the financial stuff. I mostly talk to him about matchmaking and stuff like that. Where do we want to go? What future does this angle have? What do we think about this person? How does another person, you know, maybe do they need to be repackaged a little bit kind of stuff? That's more on the booking matchmaking side is where I come in. So, and then show days, I essentially help run the back in addition to having my own matches. You know, make sure everybody knows how long to go, finishes, stuff like that. You know, we have lots of paperwork in the back about keeping stuff organized, you know, making sure everybody knows when they're to be ready, when to be in gorilla position, stuff like that. So, and then like mostly with the younger girls, like I, whenever possible, I try to watch their matches and I'll sit down with the younger girls and say, okay, you know, this went well, this needs to be worked on, you know, maybe think about developing this a little bit more.
You mentioned about the younger girls there. Then I guess this brings me on to another one of the questions about, you know, your in-ring time in Shimmer, and the fact that a lot of the girls who you are wrestling are sort of ones who are coming up or need that extra sort of credibility push or something like that. You know, Rebecca Knox, Jennifer Blake, Porter Perez, that kind of lot as well. Is this something that which you sort of deliberately aimed yourself towards, almost like a matriarch figure in Shimmer?
I think it just kind of ended up being that way. I think, you know, I'm an Aries, I'm a natural born leader, and I also have no problem like just talking to anybody about stuff like that. And I think considering that everybody knows my involvement with Shimmer, you know, if I'm trying to be in the main event of every show, it's going to look bad. Like, I always tell Prazak, I said, I'm kind of like Dreamer from ECW, no. You know. I'm more there to help people as opposed to be concerned about myself.
The best description I heard of your position in Shimmer was on your own message board a couple of days ago when someone referred to you as the giant Baba of Shimmer, which for some reason...
Are they calling me fat? Like, I know I'm on a diet and stuff, but damn.
Wow. But you're in a real hardcore diet at the minute, aren't you? I saw something about that. Tell the people what you're doing at the minute.
This is a Claudio Castagnoli diet. So, I mean, if anyone knows what Claudio looks like, they know his stuff works. And it's essentially like, I call it like a 90-day cleanse diet. For 90 straight days, if you can't hunt it, fish it, pick it, or grow it, you can't eat it.
Wow.
Nothing, absolutely nothing processed. If you can't read an ingredient on the package, you can't eat it. So it's a lot of fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, whole grains, a gallon of water every day kind of stuff. Yeah. No sugar, no white pasta, no white flour. Everything's fresh.
And how's that working out for you?
The first few days was awful, just awful. I was hungry all the time and was miserable. And I love diet soda, and I haven't had soda since August 1st. And I'm like, So, in fact, I had a staring contest with a can of diet ginger ale the other day, but I beat it. I didn't open it and drink it. I just stared at it for like an hour while watching Doctor Who, of all things. I know, I love that show. But, yeah, it's just... eating healthy, eating every 2 to 3 hours, stuff like that. So, and now, like, being the second week in, it's so much easier. Like, I've kind of hit hit this groove, and I'm just rolling with it now, and my body's getting used to eating the smaller portions and eating more often, and so just kind of keeps me even.
So
I miss soda, though.
You're going to turn up at the next Shimmer tapings in better shape than Sarah Del Rey. That's what's going to happen, right?
I don't think I'll ever be in better shape than Sarah Del Rey. She, oh my God, that girl. I went to the gym with her. She came down to visit my family 4th of July weekend because we went jet skiing and stuff like that. And I went to the gym with her, and she just blew it out of the water. I mean, nonstop. treadmill, weights, abs, jump roping, stretching, back to the treadmill. I'm like, I couldn't keep up with her. I didn't even try to keep up with her.
Wow.
So, and we actually used to be roommates. We used to live in a different apartment here where I live at the beach. And we would go to the gym like 2-3 hours a day. And that's when I got like super lean. When there was that point of shimmer where I got like real, real lean. I think I ended up being like 130 pounds. No, I was, yeah, I got real lean. But we were eating super healthy. I mean, I was making us like fresh tilapia every day or every other day and brown rice, vegetables, 2 to 3 hours at the gym. It was awesome. Then we'd come home and we'd watch tapes or Golden Girls.
Yeah. It's a weird way to end the day, in fairness.
What was that?
What he said was it was a weird way to end the day.
Yeah, but, yeah. Kind of. But that was typical us, so. Because we're not big partiers, you know. I had my time partying and stuff like that. We're not big partiers, so, you know, we didn't go out a lot. We just kind of hung out and just relaxed and talked a lot about wrestling, did our internet stuff, and it was nice. I loved living with her.
Well, you're definitely not a big partier now, obviously, being a mum and everything. So how's that treating you?
I love it. I love being a mom. I'm exhausted. This is no exaggeration. I have not had a full night's sleep since, I want to say, June of 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to buy a new mattress?
Well, I'm not a good sleeper, and, well, actually, yeah, I might have had a little bit of sleep before June, but remember, I broke my collarbone in April. That kind of hindered how I slept and stuff like that. And then June with the wedding and all that was stressful, and then, you know, June was such a hectic month for us, and then July, you know, we had the tapings and stuff like that. We get home, get things settled, and then boom, it's like, yeah, we got a little one on the way, okay. It was, yeah. And then having the growing her was a little tough because she was a big baby.
Enough said, yeah.
So she took up a lot of space. I had a lot of problems with, I had a lot of hip problems when I was pregnant. Okay. And a lot of heartburn, like ridiculously bad heartburn. They had to put me on like special medication for it, stuff like that. And because she was 9 pounds, 3 ounces when I had her, and she was early, you know, you can just imagine what that does to a bladder.
Yeah, but it was all worth it in the end, though.
Oh, absolutely. I would go through it again in a heartbeat. I don't plan on going through it again, but I would go through it again because she was worth everything. I mean, the difficult labor, the week in the hospital, it was just all
so
worth it.
Now that you've got your family, you've got your husband, you've got your promotion, you know, you're still wrestling, what's in the future now? What are your aims? What are your goals? Do you still have goals?
Absolutely. What are your goals, I still have goals.
Both professionally and personally.
Professionally, I'd love to go back and do at least one more tour of Europe. I loved wrestling over there, wrestling in the UK. I loved, you know, my time at Irish Whip. I love wrestling in Germany, and I'd like to go back to Europe at least one more time. Eventually, I'd like to be one of the few female bookers. Like, if I could ever get into either keep Shimmer running and make it, like, something super profitable, or, you know, maybe get an office job with TNA, something like that, you know. I would love to put my brain to work when my body finally gives out. I'd like to stay somehow in wrestling. And if, you know, it all ended tomorrow and there was no more wrestling ever again, I do have a degree in dentistry.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
Not as a dentist, but, you know, as a dental assistant, lab work, all that stuff. I would probably go back to dentistry because I used to be in dentistry. Before I broke into wrestling, I was actually a dental assistant.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah.
And I love that job. I'm damn good at it.
You broke into wrestling basically when Steve, your brother Steve, took you along to an ECW show one time. Isn't that the story?
No. I actually, like, I would go to shows with him and meet people, but it was Francine that actually took me to an indie show that she was doing. And Sandman broke me in there. So I broke it. Yeah, my first stuff was with Sandman and with Francine's encouragement and So that's where it all started. That was a little over 9 years ago.
Was that actually in ECW, or was that in another independent?
It was during ECW, but it was an independent. It was IWA Reading.
Okay, so you never got to experience the ECW locker room particularly, did you?
Not as a worker. I got to hang out with everybody, though. You know, okay. I would go on the road. I would travel a bit with, like, Blue Meanie. I'd go to pay-per-views with him, or I'd hang out with Francine, or, you know, Dom was really good to me. No, everyone was good. And then when I broke in, you know, Mike Keener, one of the referees for ECW, he was one of my trainers along with Steve and a guy that never got to make it to ECW named Rapid Fire Maldonado. So it just kind of worked out that way. But it's nice because, like, everybody at ECW was really, really cool to me. Like, even Paul Heyman was super nice to me. Dreamer was always really cool. Rhino was one of the nicest guys. You know, everyone was really cool there. So, and then when I see them in other places, it's like I have that advantage that I know them and I can, like, at least go up and say hi and stuff like that, where other wrestlers might not know them and not be able to really get to talk to them like I get to. So very fortunate to have that.
I guess other people would be intimidated to go up and see them because they would consider them as being stars. Do you ever get intimidated at meeting a wrestler that you've never seen before that you remember from TV or something like that? You ever?
Steamboat intimidated me. Definitely. Yeah, Steamboat intimidated me. And it didn't help that I accidentally yelled at him.
You didn't. What did you do?
Oh, I never told this story. Okay. So this was back in my Ring of Honor days. Remember when Punk was there and Steamboat came in? They had that nice little feud going. Well, the first night that I met Steamboat was at the Rec Center in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we had, like, a really great place to get dressed. It was air-conditioned. It was wide open. Lots of bathrooms because, like, we would share locker rooms with the guys, but the girls would always try and go into a bathroom or find another room to change in before we'd go back in the locker room. Or, you know, if worse came to worse, we'd hold up towels for each other because, you know, you don't want to be that girl that just nudes up in front of the boys. That's just not cool. So I'm in the bathroom, and I can't remember if I was actually on the toilet or just finished using the toilet and was naked and getting dressed. But either way, Steamboat opened the door because the lock didn't work. And I didn't know it, neither did he. And he opened the door and I grabbed it and I screamed. Like, I screamed and I slammed it in his face. I didn't know it was him. I never saw that it was him. I just know that, oh my God, I'm naked. I may or may not be peeing. And somebody's trying to walk in the bathroom. First instinct, yell, holy shit, slam the door shut. So I get dressed really quick and I come out, and Punk is standing there and he's laughing his ass off. And I'm like, somebody just walked in. Like, what the hell? What just happened? He goes, dude, he goes, you go, Ricky Steamboat, a huge apology. I'm like, Punk, no. Because Punk knows, like, I, like, was crushing on Steamboat when I was a little girl. So I was like, no. I'm like, dude, seriously, no. And he's like, yeah, he's over there. And I was like, oh my God, my first thing was Steamboat, and I shoved a door in his face and yelled. So I walked up to him like, sir, I'm so sorry. And, like, my tail's tucked between my legs, and I'm thinking, if I don't die on the spot, I'm going to go hide somewhere and cry. Because I'm so humiliated right now and just feel so bad, because I would never want to be disrespectful. And he was like, no, don't worry. I totally understand. He goes, I would have had the same reaction if I were in your shoes. And I'm really sorry I didn't knock for it. And he was so sweet to me. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And, like, for the rest of the night, I would just sit there. And it was really cute because Tracy Brooks was also crushing on him when she was young. And her and I were at the show at the same time. And we're sitting there and, like, we'd be talking to each other. And then we'd just start staring at Ricky Steamboat going, I love you. I love you. I love you so much. And they'd look at us and we both quick look away and like do 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 do. And then when we would see that he wasn't looking anymore, we'd both start staring at him and like blow him kisses and stuff like that. And my little girl just came in. Hi, kitten. Hi, baby. What's going on? Sorry, my little girl just walked in the door with her mum.
Hang on a second. Your 6 month old child just walked in.
Well, my mom just carried her through the door. How's that?
Ah, you see, Natty, I was going to say, are you like some kind of, like, superhuman mutant child or something?
You should see this kid. She was rolling over at, what, 3.5 months old? She could roll over completely. And now she scoots everywhere. Her daddy calls her Scooter Pie. She scoots all over the place because she wants to crawl.
There you go.
So, yeah. So she came here to visit.
She heard Ricky Steamboat being mentioned, and something genetically in her just drew her to the phone.
I think somewhere my husband's in the car going, I know she's talking about him. So, because my crush on Steamboat was pretty legendary for a while.
Have you got over that, do you think?
Well, my husband's not home, okay, so no, not fine. Really. And hopefully he won't hear this.
I hope he does, but, you know, fine. Okay, well, I've got to ask you one other thing, because I've been specifically asked to ask you this. Tell the story about the time that you met Jake Roberts in FIP.
Oh, I have a new Jake Roberts story, too. It's actually kind of my husband's story, but I witnessed it. So, okay. Yeah, two Jake stories for you guys. You're getting a bonus story. Okay, the FIP story was Sarah and I were down in Florida. And we were doing FIP show. I don't even remember what the match was, because the only thing I remember was Jake was at the show. And so we got there kind of late because we came with Sal and Gabe. And we got there a little bit late. And when we entered the building, there was a little seminar going on in the ring, which is not unusual for us. Because I know, like, when Cornette came through Ring of Honor and Steamboat came through Ring of Honor, if you would ask them a question, they would just get in the ring and answer it for everybody. And, like, everyone would stop what they were doing, get in the ring or circle around the ring, and just listen to what the veteran has to tell you. So Jake's doing some stuff, and I don't know exactly all he had taught them at that point. But I remember Larry Sweeney was in the front, and he had something on his shirt. And I don't remember what was on his shirt, but Jake goes, "What does your shirt say?" And so Sweeney told him, and he goes, "Wrong, boy, because shirts can't read." And we're like, what the hell? Okay. And then he was talking about how to whip someone off the ropes. So he grabs Roderick Strong and he whips Roderick off. And Roderick hits the ropes, does what he's doing. And then Jake starts saying, you know, how Roderick was wrong. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know. It looked pretty damn right to me. So, like, but he has a different way that he hits the ropes. So he was talking about how he hits the ropes and all that stuff. And then, he was saying, you know, you got to do it this way because you got to have a catch, because if your motherfucking opponent, you know, wants to hurt you, I've got 7 kids that I've got to pay for. I'm not going to jail because some motherfucker, you know, tried to hurt me and I can't get paid. And then he starts going off about how he broke Sid Vicious's arm. Are you trying to tell the story or am I? So, yeah, and he just, like, goes nuts. So, anyway, after that was all said and done, then we're like, okay, well, we got here late. Sarah and I still need to introduce ourselves to him. And Sarah goes up to him, shakes his hand, talks to him for a few moments, and then comes over to me. Kendall Grace, this is my story. Shush. she comes over to me, and she's like, yeah, good luck. I'm like, oh, my God. So I walk up to him, like, hi, Mr. Roberts, my name's Allison Danger, blah, 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 blah. I might have said Allison, just whatever. I just gave him my name, shook his hand, and he's like, come here, girl. And he pulls me close because we're by the gimmick table, and he goes, see this guy right here? And it was a picture of him from when he was young. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. He goes, would you fuck him? I'm like, sitting there going through my brain, like, time slowed for a second as I racked my brain going, what is the best answer? Okay. I'm just going to swallow my pride and do it. Yes, sir, I would. He's like, yeah, me too. I think I'm going to fuck him tonight. And I'm like, oh, God, okay, got to go. Got to go take the crying game shower. and I run away. And yeah. But you know what? As crazy as his stories are, he is a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost feel bad, like, saying, you know, kind of making fun of him because – but he just has – he just makes the locker room so much fun because he always has funny stories or he ends up being a funny story. Yes. So. And then the other story was him ribbing my husband. We were at a show, and this was when I was about 4 or 5 months. Yeah, when I was about 4 or 5 months pregnant. And my husband was doing a show with my brother and like C.W. Anderson, Ricky Landell was all there. And I'm just trying to help Steve a little bit in the back. And Roberts has to do a run-in on something involving my brother. So I went up to him like, Mr. Roberts, you know, they need you to be in Gorilla in about 3 minutes for your run-in. He's like, oh, shit, didn't know I had a run-in, blah, 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 blah. So we get him together, and he comes over, and he's waiting. And it was Q. And then he realizes his phone's in his pocket, so he pulls his phone out of his pocket, hands it to my husband. He's like, here, son, can you hold this for me? My husband's like, yeah, absolutely, sir, no problem. And then Jake stops for a second, puts his hand in the front of his pants, and looks at my husband and goes, can you hold something else for me, too? Like, he's going to whip his hair out. And, like, my husband's like, he didn't know what to do. And then Jake started laughing at my husband and went and did the running. And, like, I'm sitting there going, honey, are you okay? He goes, I think Jake was going to give me his dick. He goes, he was going to pass me the snake.
Oh, my God.
I was like, my husband almost had to hold Jake's snake. So, of course, there were snake jokes going on out of that. But, yeah, so he ribbed my husband.
Oh, what a great man.
Yeah. So, and, of course, he's sitting there holding Jake's phone, and I'm like, oh, if it wasn't Jake, I would look through it, but I would feel so bad. But I really want to, like, find out, like, what if Vince's number's in there? I could call McMahon on his cell phone. Vince, this is Jake. I got an idea for you, brother. But I was a good girl. I stayed out of his phone. Because I have a very honest husband.
Very good. Very good. I've got a question for you with regards to, you mentioned earlier on Larry Sweeney just in passing, and certainly hope he's getting better.
Yeah.
He's had his issues recently. But something I did want to ask you about was the last time that you were in Ring of Honor, you were involved in a somewhat controversial angle involving Larry and Bobby Dempsey, which, if I remember rightly, for those who haven't seen it, involved you getting knocked unconscious, and then I guess Bobby Dempsey being thrust upon you. People exploded with fury about this at the time. I mean, when people explode with fury about potential sort of they called it a rapes angle and so on. I mean, does something like that do you care about that, or do you just laugh at the reaction that you get from something like that?
Well, like with that particular angle, like part of being in wrestling and getting your name out there is sometimes you get into angles that people may not necessarily like, but it pushes an envelope, and right there you get that press. And when we originally, like when I got to the building and Gabe came up with the idea, like it never actually, initially it didn't sound bad, but it never went as far as it did in the ring. I think with the heat of the fans going on and the way the fans reacted, that it just went, that we kind of stepped over that line a little too much when we were in the ring, but when we kind of went over it in the back, it never was going to go that far. And I think part of what happened was that it wasn't just what we were doing, it was the way the New York fans reacted, because they kind of cheered Sweeney in it. And so it made it that much more awkward and strange. And then when people saw it, and like everyone was like, oh, poor danger, it was a rape angle, but like look at it from Bobby's perspective. Yeah. Like Bobby got put into a situation where he's trying to be forced to do something he doesn't want to do. Like the whole theory about it was, I wasn't just the victim, like Bobby was the victim too, but people always were like, oh, poor danger, she got involved in this rape angle, or how could they do this to her? They disrespected her. And it's like, it wasn't just about me, though. Like, the point of me being there was, it was supposed to make it that much worse because it was an ROH original. Like, it was somebody that was there in the company. It was the first female and stuff like that. But it was really more about the humiliation of Bobby Dempsey.
Uh-huh.
So, and, like, I felt kind of bad because, like, I think a lot of people missed that. And it was supposed to give Sweeney a lot more heat, but like, Sweeney's so good on the mic, sometimes he would get the pops as opposed to the heat. So this was something to like genuinely get him heat, genuinely get him hated. And it was kind of like an old school thing where, you step over that line like they did back in the day. I think sometimes in promotions today, people play it even a little too safe. So, but it didn't quite get over the way it was supposed to. And I think part of it was that may not have been the city to do it in. Or in hindsight, it may not have even been the exact way to do it.
Yeah.
What's done is done. And I don't dwell on it, and I don't hate anybody for it. And
no, it's just
I'm
one
just
of those
like,
things where you know the fan reaction was the complete opposite of what it should have been, as far as in a different time period. Certainly, Larry Sweeney would have been hated for it, but I guess given the fans and given the city and given the circumstances, for whatever reason, people liked him for it. What about given that we've got Kendall as a an extra on this? An extra guest, shall we say, the second guest on the show. I mean, she's kind of already involved in a wrestling angle now with yourself and Portia and Shimmer. Any sort of regrets or any sort of qualms about, you know, sort of using that real life thing to heat up an angle in Shimmer?
Well, I'm just trying to tread carefully with it. Like, you know, I never, when it came time for that thing with Portia, I never actually intended to get into the ring. I never wanted to really be seen pregnant, because I think that changes how fans will see me as a wrestler, because they've always seen me as a wrestler. They never really got to see that more personal human side of me, except for like the little touches here and there I would give the fans. So yeah, the game plan for me initially was to keep my stomach out of it, and then Dave came up with the idea. And it started out as a joke, and the more we thought about it, we were like, oh yeah, you know, it could really stir up some big heat for Portia. Because again, like with Sweeney, you know, Portia's character was getting a lot of pops. Because I guess in this day and age, it's kind of the cool thing to like the heels and the boo the faces.
Sure.
So, but you gotta give them a real reason to hate you. So, and the whole point was to never actually say she was gonna harm the baby, but to elude it and let fans' imaginations run wild.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, as opposed to like back in the day, like fans don't want to let their imaginations run wild. They want to think one thing, and then they want to, instead of getting going, okay, this is, you know, this is not actually real, I should be mad at the character that's being played, oh no, we're going to get mad at the promoter, and we're going to get mad at who booked this, and I can't believe you would do this stuff. And it's like, really? It's like, the whole point of wrestling is to, you know, is to suspend belief for a while and whatnot. And I think fans today are just so smart, and they want to be so much a part of the show that they stop looking at things from a fan's perspective. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I reckon that fans are probably want to think too hard about something, as opposed to just letting it come at them.
Yeah, just enjoy it instead of Portia getting heat for what she said or didn't say or anything like that, and what she would allude to. They immediately got mad. I can't believe Shimmer would go that low and stuff like that. It's like, guys, at the end of the day, it's an angle. Do you really think that I would put myself or my unborn child in a situation where she was going to be hurt? No.
Of course.
I wouldn't. Like, if I legit thought somebody really wanted to hurt her, am I going to put her out there? No, of course not. So, and I've already steeled myself to this, because I remember when my nephew, you know, was around when he was younger, and my brother would do ECW shows, he had so much heat that the fans, to try and unnerve him, would go after my nephew.
Okay.
And I remember Atlas threw out somebody who had a Die Colby Die sign at a pay-per-view or a live event or something like that. And it's like, you know, sometimes fans hate a person or a character so much that they want to go for the jugular. They're like, you know, just booing them doesn't seem to get to them. So they're going to try and go personal. So I've already prepared myself for the fact that people are going to try and use Kendall against me.
Uh-huh.
If they don't like me, whether it's a personal issue or a character issue, or if they're just a bunch of assholes that come to a show.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, and people have already started doing it. People started doing that stuff in May. And I'm just like, whatever.
Really?
You know? Yeah. People already started doing that. We hope your baby dies stuff. Like, legit, because they just want to be assholes.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, do you really want a baby to die? No.
No.
Does it still work for you, though, when people might say that?
No, because, like, if I weren't in wrestling, that would devastate me. But I think of it like this. They don't like me, so they're going to try and say stuff to hurt me. And I love my daughter, and I will take care of her till the end of time, and I have to steel myself against it. You have to have a really, really thick skin in wrestling. Yes, you do, sweetie. Because people are going to say stuff. They're going to say whatever they can about you. They're going to call you fat. They're going to call you skinny. They're going to call you flat-chested. You know, they're going to say horrible, horrible things about you. And if you let every little thing get to you, then, you know, how are you supposed to survive in wrestling?
Well, you wouldn't.
And especially when they go after my daughter, that just shows me the lack of character those people have. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you really, really feel the need to say that kind of stuff, then that truly proves what a piece of shit as a person you are. So, and then to me, knowing what a piece of shit they are, it's like, well, their opinion doesn't matter because they're trash. They're oxygen thieves. I don't need that, and I don't care. So,
seems logical.
Yeah, you got to be tough. You got to be tough. And I actually get more upset when people say bad things about other people than when people say bad things about me.
Really?
Because I'm so used to it. Oh my goodness!
You got your protective wing over the youngsters in the Shimmer locker room. That's the kind of thing.
I do because I've been there and I know how tough it is. You know, I mean, I didn't start out in wrestling as a wrestler, but eventually, that's where my path led me. So, you know, I've had some craptastic matches, and unfortunately, some of my craptastic matches was at like Ring of Honor, where a lot of people saw them. You know, and. You know, that's a hard crowd, the Ring of Honor crowd.
Yeah.
At least it used to be. I mean, I've been gone for 2 years, but that's a hard crowd to deal with. And they can be very harsh and very vocal. And if you let their criticisms or their anger or their hate at you tear you apart, then you can't survive. You'll never survive. So, you know, I had to essentially put on my big girl panties. And if people were writing bad stuff about me, I could either read it and suck it up or just not read those sites.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. You just and I would appreciate the ones that would post stuff and that would give constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I'd be like, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, I did blow a spot in this match, whatever. And that's okay because they're not saying it to be jerks. They're saying it because, you know, hey, something I need to learn. Mm-hmm. But when they want to pick on you for your looks or they want to pick on you because you're green. Well, you know, yeah, like, especially with Shimmer, we have a lot of new girls right now and some of them are green, some more than others, but they're never going to learn until they get that chance. And that's how we all get better.
Well,
I mean, not all of us start out in this business fantastic.
Well, look, I'll tell you what then, to finish up the interview, you're just talking and touching on the younger members of the Shimmer roster. As we go into the next year of Shimmer, who do you see as being the next people to watch out for, the next people who are likely to get that Serena D push from the bottom of the card up to the top?
I don't know. Like, first thing I think about the Australians, you know, those are some good girls right there, the Australians, particularly Madison Eagles. She's fantastic. In fact, I had volume 23 in the DVD player the other day, and my brother was in town visiting with my nephew, and my brother and my husband and I sat and watched the Sarah Del Rey Madison Eagles match, and I noticed later my brother had been tweeting about it, going, this match is awesome, and like Steven was telling me how with a match like Madison Del Rey, you should be showing this to other girls because it was just such a good match, and you know, you don't know a lot about someone like Madison Eagles here in the States. But then you see her and you're like, damn, she's really freaking good. You know, and I think that Tennille Dashwood, she's young, but she's, you know, working hard. I think Jessie McKay's got potential. Kelly Skater, I'm going to finally say her name right. I called her the wrong name for 2 straight days and no one corrected me.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you call her?
I kept calling her Kelly Slater.
That's like, a surfer.
Well, here's the thing. No, listen to this. I didn't even take into account that it was the surfer. I was thinking that she was a Saved by the Bell mark and had wished Zach didn't marry Kelly, that Kelly married AC Slater, thus becoming Kelly Slater, thus becoming the wrestler Kelly Slater. And so when finally, after 2 days in front of the monitor, someone finally goes, "Can't you read that it says Skater on her outfit?" I go, "Oh, snap, it does. Oh, my God, I've been calling her the wrong name for 2 days." So I went up to apologize, and she took it like a champ. I guess, you know, she didn't want to be the one that corrected me.
Yes.
And I told her, like, the Saved by the Bell story, and that's why I thought that was her name. And she looks at me, and she goes, "What's Saved by the Bell?"
Oh, no.
And I look at her, I go, "How old are you?" She goes, 19. And
no.
I'm like, son of a bitch. I was 13 when this girl was born. I mean, yeah, she had no idea what Saved by the Bell was because she was so young.
Wow.
And I look at it, and I'm like, I'm 32 now. And these girls coming in are 18, 19, 20. I'm like, I feel so old.
Because you need to start crushing people, you know, maintaining your spot and clinging on to it. This is what you need to do. Start squashing people.
Ah, I can't do that. That's just not me. That's just not me. But, you know, and back to up-and-coming girls, like, I think Jen Blake has tons and tons of potential. I'm not going to put over any ninjas or their matches they may or may not have had with Daisy Hayes.
No.
I didn't think you would.
No, we're not going to put that over.
I will, though.
Yeah, you do that on your own time.
Okay.
You know, you're on my clock right now, Stu.
Okay.
But yeah, I think the up-and-coming, I think there's some definite up-and-comers. You know, and it's all about getting the chance to work with us, like the older girls, and getting to branch out, getting in front of new crowds and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Because different regions expect different kind of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down here in the South, wrestling is so easy. Oh, my God, the Southern style. I've gotten so lazy in the ring. Because that Southern style, it's just so nice and slow and easy to handle, and you know. But then if I go out up to Philly, I can't do that style there, and it's got to be the same with girls coming up from other regions.
Mm-hmm.
They can't you know, what goes good in Texas might not go good in Chicago. What goes good in Chicago might not work in Germany, you know. I think Vesna's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
She already is.
She's good. She's damn good. One of my favorite matches in my career was with her. Yeah, you weren't there for that, kitten. No. That was mommy's injury-prone year. Where I had two serious injuries in about the course of 6 months.
But
yeah, did you ever see that GSW match?
No,
either
I
of you guys?
No.
Yo, you guys got to get it. It's from October 2007. It was the very last match I had before I moved back to the States when I was living in Switzerland for a while.
Okay.
And doing the Europe tour. Oh, somebody's fussy. And, the very last match of my tour, the very last spot going into the finish, broken eardrum.
No.
Yeah. I felt that sucker pop, instant pain, and then, like, it's one of those moments where the whole world stopped again. Like, everything was kind of, like, in slow motion. Like, I was underwater. And it was just, painful. And I felt so bad because she felt bad. Because it was an honest-to-God accident.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things that happened.
So did that put you out of action for any appreciable length of time? How long does it take somebody to come back from a broken eardrum or a burst eardrum?
Do you know the Shimmer Show where I teamed with Serena Deeb?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about 1 week after I broke my eardrum.
Oh, God.
I broke it on a Saturday, flew home on Tuesday. I had to go through, like, 4 flights with a broken eardrum. They couldn't patch it because I had to fly home.
Oh.
I got home on a Tuesday, flew the Shimmer on Friday. And so, if you notice, with the exception of the Dangerous Angels tag match with Natty and Melissa, mm-hmm. any time that I've been in a tag match, it's just because I'm hurt. The one with Serena was put together because I had a broken eardrum.
Wow.
Yeah. Which one? What else did I do? Well, no, I wasn't hurt with the one with Jen Blake.
Okay.
So that one, that was a storyline one.
And you were hurt during the match with Melissa and Mischief.
Yeah. That was the other big injury I had when I broke my first broken bone ever. I never broke a bone, minus like a toe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, listen, it's been... I'm going to wrap this up here. It's been a pleasure, as always. Like to have you back for a future show again, because there's always stories you can tell.
Oh, you know I love Skyping with you
we're
guys.
We're going to look forward to seeing you in November. Hope that people who are listening to this show are going to come as well. Tickets on sale. Go to the Shimmer board. Contact Dave Prezak via PM. He'll sell you as many tickets as you want to buy, whether you're coming or not. And
That starts August 13th, Thursday night.
August 13th, Thursday night, which is when you should...
Yeah, isn't that the first night of the sale?
Yep, which is when you should hopefully be listening to this. If you're listening to this after August 13th, still go, still buy tickets. We will hopefully see everybody there November 8th.
Yay!
Allison, pleasure.
It'll be a party.
Pleasure as always.
Thanks, guys.
And we will speak to you again soon.
Hang up the tic-tac.